This is the letter from a fisherman.
Ma en barua mondiki koa kuom ng'at miluongo ni jalupo.
Where he came from, they also had a lake.
Kumano ae ne nitiere miluongo ni nam.
Lake Galilee.
Ne nitiere nam mar Galilee.
But when he was a young man, Peter the fisherman, he met Jesus of Nazareth. He listened to his teaching and he heard also the teaching of John the Baptist about him. And Simon Peter, he came to believe that Jesus was the promised Savior.
To Simon Peter no bedo kod yie mong'eyo ni Yesu Kristo en jawar.
One day, whilst he was at his work, he was mending his nets.
Chiemora chiel kano kuoyo net ne mimak godo nyandu mimak godo reche ipi.
Jesus came to where they were by the lake.
Yes, you know, biro kapana bitire e ba e tienam.
I'm sure that's something that happened often as Jesus came to teach his followers.
Kichendi manesa tiunga kiloko di kiri biro mono biro punjo mono biro punjo lopne.
That day, Jesus said to Peter, "I want you now to follow me."
Chiengono endo Yesu Kristo na misa petro ni petro ra mono mi ibeja lopna.
Put your nets away. Store the boat somewhere. Come and be with me. I'm going to teach you to be a fisher of men. That was when Peter was a young man. And he followed him for many years. He listened to his teaching. And after 3 years, he went up to Jerusalem with him. He saw Jesus crucified. And he was afraid. And he was confused. But on the third day, he rejoiced. Because he saw Jesus risen from the dead. Now, when we come to 2 Peter, all of that is long, long ago. Peter is now an old man. And he knows that his time will soon end. So he emphasizes some things he wants the Christians to really remember. To remember after he is gone. Now actually Peter has 2 letters. Since he wrote them to the same group of people, in 1 Peter, he told the Christians how to suffer for the name of Jesus. Jesus suffered and we must suffer too. To suffer for the will of God is something good. Because then we can know we're following the steps that Jesus went by. And it can purify us.
It
can make us ready for the heavenly kingdom.
It
can teach us to finish with the empty and corrupt things of this life. But those sufferings, those were attacks from outside the church. The ungodly in the world attacking God's people in the church. But 2 Peter is something different. It's about attacks that come inside the church. How the church is corrupted from within. It's about false teaching. And corrupt living. And that is often a more dangerous attack on the church. If someone comes from outside to attack us, we'll know to defend. But if someone hidden is digging away the foundations, we may never know. And we might be singing and enjoying ourselves, and the whole place falls in. So Peter wanted the Christians to be ready for attacks from outside, attacks from inside. He knew those attacks would return long after he had died. So he wrote this letter to help us be ready. Now, as we begin, we have 3 things in this introduction. First, if you wrote a letter in those days, you said, who was writing? So he starts, Simon Peter. Now, Simon was his name. But Jesus later gave him another name, Peter. He had the name he was born with, and a new name Jesus gave him when he entered his service. Peter was always very eager to follow Jesus. If he saw something to do, he would be running to it. Do you feel that way about Jesus? But though he was eager, he was often unwise. He was immature. He didn't understand his own weakness. And he lacked understanding about the kingdom. He was looking for the kingdom to come with power and glory quickly. When Jesus taught him about the cross, he was slow to understand. At one time he said, Jesus, I will die for you. But later, later the same night, he said, I don't know Jesus of Nazareth. He's nothing to do with me. So he was quick to promise to serve Jesus. But he needed to learn about his own weakness. And then he could do nothing without the Spirit of God. Now Peter preach the sermon on the day the church was born.
Petro noyale injili chemakanisa ni nyolo.
On the day of Pentecost, he preached. 3,000 men were saved. Later, he welcomed the first non-Jew into the church.
Just
for many years, the church was totally Jewish. No Europeans, no Africans. Only those who had converted to Judaism. Now, even when he was an apostle, he continued to make mistakes. But let me tell you something very important. Every time he fell down, he got up again. Every time he made a mistake in following Jesus, he repented. Whenever he let Jesus down, he said sorry and came back to him. So Peter is someone who can really help us. I'm sure you make a lot of mistakes in following Jesus. I'm sure you often let him down and dishonor him. But you know, Jesus is always willing to forgive you, to welcome you back and give you a new start, to lift you up again and put you on the right road. So here's Peter at the end of his life.
Why did I give up? Because I translated to the Luo. So it's a something the Luo's are too deep.
Okay. Peter can help us. I think everyone here is young. It's one thing to start and say, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus. But we want to make it to the end like Peter did. Tomorrow is the Olympic marathon. In the marathons, many start. But only one receives the prize. And many give up before the end. Peter can help you to keep going to the end. Now first, Peter calls himself a servant. And that shows you that he changed. As we read in the Gospels of a different time, and Peter was thinking about reigning as a king. He's really eager for the kingdom of Jesus to come. And he and the other disciples are saying, which of us is the greatest? Is it me? But Jesus said, now listen. The greatest among you is the one who serves. In the kingdom of God, the way up is down. Even as Jesus took himself to the death of the cross. And now at the end of his life, Peter has learnt to put that first. First of all, are you a servant? Because even apostles had to learn to say that first. And to be that first. Even the leader of the apostles. If he's a servant, how much more should we be? Well, he writes to serve us. He writes to do us good. As a servant, he wants to build the church up. So there's some good news at the beginning. But second, he says, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now this word apostle, it means somebody who is sent with authority. The Prime Minister might send someone here with a message from his office. We may send him with power to do something in this area. That person comes with all the authority of the Prime Minister. And Peter, he writes to you with the authority of Jesus Christ. He writes the words which Jesus wants you to know. This letter is not Peter's own ideas. He didn't sit down with the other apostles and say, how would we like the church to be? How shall we run our churches? No, he had a word from the Son of God, which he passed on to us. He's not offering you some ideas for you to weigh
up.
He's not saying, see how you like these. He says to you, here are the words of the Son of God. Jesus the Messiah.
Jesus Christ, Messiah.
So we need to listen very humbly to these words. If the Prime Minister did send his servant, I'm sure we'd all listen very carefully. How much more if the Son of God sends his apostle? Now, let's move to the second part. In those days, you began a letter by introducing yourself. But second, you said something about the people you're writing to. Those receiving the letter. Now, this is not written to just one group of people in one place. So when I've come before, we've looked at Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And those were two particular cities, city of Ephesus, city of Philippi, city of Colossae. But Peter wrote to Christians over a wide area. Probably those, well, those cities that we mentioned, those were part of that area. He wrote things which were good for Christians in many, many places. But he doesn't use the word Christian. Instead, he says something about Christians. You can see it in verse 1.
It
says, those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ those who have received the faith precious like ours.
Well,
Christians are people with faith. They've not seen Jesus, but they believe the words they've heard about him. You weren't there when Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead. But if you're a Christian, then you've heard about it. And you've said, yes, that's the salvation I need. I can't rescue myself. I can't defeat death. I can't make my way into the presence of God. I'm too weak and too sinful. I need something like the Son of God to do it all for me. And by the Holy Spirit, you come to believe that Jesus is that Son of God. You've not yet seen the new world that he's making. But if you're a Christian, you believe because he's promised. So a Christian is not just a church goer. Not just a good person. But somebody who's heard the promises of salvation in the gospel and believed them. Someone now holding on to those promises. Saying, that is my hope of eternal life.
So watching this work,
I don't have anything of my own to bring. But all my hope is in what Jesus has done. And faith, as Peter says, is precious.
So
it is of the greatest worth and value. If you own the whole universe, you can't buy your way into heaven. You have mountains of gold and fleets of Mercedes. If you win every medal at the Olympics and everybody worships you, then you won't be even one inch nearer to the kingdom of heaven. But the key that unlocks the door is faith in Jesus and his promises.
To ye ema yao ema enra yao ma yao mse kata ma yao msiro ma wanguru ko Jesus Christ.
A man can be a millionaire and yet lost and heading to hell.
Ngato nyalo bedo ngato man kod million mangeny ngima ne lalo kido dhi mane mach.
Or he can have nothing and live on the street, but he's going to heaven because he believes the word of Jesus. Now the Bible teaches that faith is a gift from God. It's a work of the Holy Spirit in your heart. He comes and opens your eyes. He shows you your sin. He shows you the anger of God. And he shows you that you need to run to Jesus. It's a precious gift. Something you need to get more than anything in the world. Something you need to pray for and seek until you find it. Until you can say, yes, Jesus is my Savior. Now, most people, they don't see the value of faith. Because they say, I can't eat the promises of God. I can't take them to town and get a job. I can't get them out of the bank and buy something. But without the promises of God, you're lost forever. Faith in Jesus Christ is the key to eternal life. You can't see it with these eyes, but it's worth more than everything that you can. Now it comes from the righteousness of God. God gives it to us in his justice. Now, somebody asked, what does this mean? How can God be right to save me if I'm a sinner? Is it right for God to forget sin? Even in this life, we know that that's not right. If a crime is committed, then we have a police and we have a court and we have a prison. If the crimes are big, there may even be a commission to investigate. If a man stands up and says, let's just forget all crime, then people will say no. Forget those IDPs from the last elections. Forget the injustices of the past. Oh, someone will say, no, we need to put them right. Now, in the gospel, God has put things right. Sin has been punished. The price has been paid. things are made straight again. Because Jesus died on the cross. His blood was shed for sin. God's anger fell on him. He died there as the head of God's people. And he paid the price for their freedom. So God can be right to let those people go free. So that's what Peter is talking about. Did you notice that he calls Jesus God? He said, our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Son, he is God, just like the Father is God. He has the same glory as the Father and the Spirit. He's more than a man, he is both God and man. So, let's ask, is Peter writing to you? Do you have faith in Jesus Christ? Is God receiving you because of the blood of Jesus? Has God forgiven your sins for Jesus' sake? Well, there's a whole letter for you if you are one of those people. The apostle of Jesus has a message for you. So, now let's move on to our third and final part. Let's look at what he says about this message. Those who wrote letters in those days, they gave their name, they said who they're writing to, then they sent some greetings. We have that in verse 2. He says, grace and peace. In those days, the Greeks, when they met each other, they said, grace. And if the Jews met each other, they said, peace. But when the Christians met, they said both. They said grace and peace. And they weren't just empty words. Sometimes we say, oh, how are you? And someone says, oh, not bad. But what he's really thinking is, today is terrible. I wish I just slept until tomorrow, it's so bad. I wish I never left my house. But when you greet him, he says, oh, not bad. But when Peter writes these words, he means them completely. Because he's writing about the grace of God. The kindness and mercy of God to his people. God writes to us and he says that he wishes us well. That in his love he has good things for us. That's a great message from God's apostle. And he says that God sends us peace. We're just dust But we can have fellowship with God. And God wants us to dwell in a good relationship with Him. Now Jesus has paid the price for that friendship. And Peter says it can be ours in abundance, overflowing. So when I say this is the word of God, then don't fear. Don't say, oh, what can God want with me? Don't say, oh, but I've sinned today. God is angry. No, remember that through the gospel of Christ, God's word is grace and peace. That if your heart is repenting, then there can be fellowship with God. Now, how can we come to know those things more? How can we come to enjoy them more? It's easy to say the words. How can we come to enjoy them? Peter answers in verse 2. He says, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now Peter, he likes this word knowledge. He uses it a few times in the letter. It's in verse 3 as well.
It
says, our knowledge of Him. It's in verse
8.
He speaks of your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I see that's the theme of this week.
But
I want to know Him. And it's a few more times in the letter as well. Now, this knowledge, it's not that kind of knowledge when we're talking of exams. Let me learn all these things in my book so I pass the exam. I can know this fact, I can know that fact. No, it's a much deeper knowledge than that. You know, the devil, he knows all the teachings in the Bible. He knows them all very well. In the exam, he gets all the marks. But Peter, he's speaking about to know someone in a relationship with them. To know them as the lover of your soul. To get closer to them. Christians are invited to know God. For all of God's glories to be shown to them. So that they can know Him as He really is. To know Him as a father and a friend. To know Him as a shepherd and a lover. To know Him as a king. To know Him as our Savior. Peter says in verse 3 that the divine power of Jesus Christ, He gives us all we need. As we get to know Him better, we'll have all we need to live a life that pleases God. This letter is about how to live a godly life. False teachers, they lead people into sin. But Peter wants to lead us into a life that pleases the Lord. And we can do that as we get to know Jesus Christ better. Do you want to know God? To know Him better. To be nearer to Him. To be more pleasing to Him. Well, that's why Peter wrote. And then we'll be safe. Peter says that Christians, they're people who've been called. They're called by the glory and goodness of God. God has invited you. He summoned you to Himself. In this letter, He'll teach you how to stay close and how to get closer. So I hope you'll be hungry for those things as we study this letter together.